Ladies and gentlemen, your featured podcast of the evening.
It's time for United by Wrestling Podcast, baby. I'm your host, Dustin Destruction, and I am joined by the returning Shipesta.
What up, baby?
It's good to have you back on the show, Shipesta, after a couple week absence.
Oh, hell yeah. It's good to be back because I'm back.
And now I wish you were gone again. So we have a couple of house chores things before we get started on a kind of a new topic that we haven't really done before. So as you saw last week when Shipester was gone, I did my first video podcast, and I thank you people for clicking on it. You people.
Wait a minute. What you mean, you people?
Shut up. I thank you guys for anybody that watched live and anybody that viewed it. I thank you for that. Thank you for the likes and the support, not being too hard on me. But that transitions to some very good news. Us two ding-dongs finally put our heads together and realized that we were idiots on something. We didn't do one setting this whole time after 6 months. And now, starting next week, you're actually, and I promise, this isn't a lie anymore. I know we've been promising this for, what, how long?
We've been promising that shit for, like, two or three months now.
Yeah. Next week, though, will be the official debut of video podcasting.
Yay!
We can see both our lovely faces.
Which, trust me, to anybody, this is a preview. They aren't lovely, but...
You saw mine last week.
So, yeah. So we still hope you watch, even though we can't promise you lovely faces.
Hey, Shipes is even uglier than I am.
Shut up.
But so next week, thank you, Colin Elbow, for being smart and actually telling us how to do something. That was simple that we could have easily figured out ourselves, but we didn't. So
Yeah.
So let's get to the show itself. So, Shipes has been gone for a couple weeks, and there's been some controversial things that have happened in a couple weeks, so it might be old to you guys, but we haven't really discussed some of this stuff, because I want to wait till he's here. So this show is going to be literally a straight shoot podcast, because, well, that's what Shipes likes to do, and I feel it'd be a good way to incorporate him back into it.
Yeah.
So, we're going to be shooting, we have no script, we're calling In the Ring as it is, but even this... I'm not 100% what his thoughts are going to be on some of these things, so it's going to be straight shoot. Like, no holding back, because usually as the host, I try to kind of, while we call it In the Ring, kind of navigate how the match is going. So, one match, you get what I mean. I'm using terminology here. How the show's going. But this one, there's no, like, say what you want.
Yep.
Because there's going to be some harsh words right away, because I already know his thoughts on some of these guys. There might be some swearing, so if that offends you, this might not be the podcast for you.
I say this is the official warning now. If you don't like a lot of swearing or anything, if that offends you or whatever, you might want to click away now.
Also, we don't want to get taken down by YouTube because they have all these stupid laws coming in place. So
that's the first you fuck that new policy shit. That's just crap.
So this show is going to be based off shooting on anybody in the business, you name it. Some of the wrestlers I'm going to try to be respectful about, but everybody else, it could be wrestlers. It could be dirt sheet dumbasses.
There's quite a few of those.
Some promotions, anything. And there'll be some good shoots, some bad. Pretty much anybody that has controversy against the wrestling community talking of some sort of way.
Yeah.
It's going to be talked about. So, I'm going to start with the most obvious couple ones. I'm going to start off the bat, Jim Cornette. What's your thoughts on Jim Cornette, Shipesta?
Jim Cornette, I mean, for me, he's one of those guys, he should have stepped away from the business a long time ago, because his mentality and his outlook on things is so far trapped in, like, the 80s that he's a dumbass without realizing he's a dumbass. But he doesn't think he's a dumbass because he still thinks with the way that he thought back in the 80s and shit. It's like, you know, and then you go on, you leave, you're on MLW, you leave MLW to go to NWA, and then you come up with the bucket of fried chicken line for Trevor Murdoch. It's like, see, that's where you're a dumbass, because you think that that shit's going to fly nowadays when it's not. And then you've got guys that you don't like specifically that you think are crap, which are actually some of the best wrestlers in the world, like the Bucks and Kevin Steen, as you like to, as you call him, and you know, guys like that.
Joey Ryan.
And Joey Ryan. It's like, okay, you don't like them because they do this, they don't do this, they don't look like this. Dude, this isn't the 1980s. Nobody's on steroids and snipping crack anymore. You know, so Cornette's one of those guys. I think he's about 15, 20 years overdue for leaving the business. I mean, personally, me personally, I really can't stand the guy, honestly. Like 100%. You think
he's good for the business or bad for the business?
I think more the longer he stays in it, the worse he becomes for it.
Because I think he divides it.
I mean, that's what I mean. It's like the longer he stays in it, the worse he is for it. Because he says things, and then it gets people, some people, you know, find it, you know, they're either highly offensive or not accurate, whatever your terminology you want to use is. And then the other half is like, oh, no, I agree with that. So then you got division in something that really you don't need to have division in on certain topics.
Fried chicken line, I don't know how anybody could defend that.
Yeah, I mean,
but
there were people defending that. Oh, yeah. He was just trying to crack a joke. It's like, okay, I can sit here and crack 50 jokes with that same topic, with that same category, but not have it be completely as offensive as he made it. I mean,
that's the thing. He has no remorse for it.
Exactly.
He said it was a joke, and he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, you could sit here, you know, me and you could sit here for the next 20 minutes of the show making fried chicken jokes, where we could do it in a manner where I guarantee you nobody would be tweeting us and saying, oh, that was so offensive. No. But with
no one listens to us anyway.
With Cornette's comment, it's like, you're on a platform, dude. Like, you're on a platform. You have people watching you, and you have this for, you know, I guess, aura, persona about you that people follow because you are a controversial figure in the business. And when you mention things like that, people are listening. Whether you don't think they are, they are. And especially now in the days of the internet, nothing's forgotten. So you make this joke, and in 10 minutes, it's all over the world. But him sitting there saying, oh, he did nothing wrong, it was just a joke, clearly shows how much of a dumbass he actually is.
And there's a reason places like WWE don't come within anywhere near him.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the last time he was ever in
Hall of Fame?
It was the Hall of Fame, and then before that, it was the Gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17?
Yeah.
Like, so,
Jesus.
I would say, there's a reason they, you know, WWE, the powers that be might not exactly be the smartest individuals in the planet right now, but even they know to stay away from that.
My thoughts on Cornette, it's kind of like, I think he has a great wrestling mind. You know, I think he's very smart in wrestling. Even if he's stuck, he has a lot of knowledge of the business, of course, because he's in it. He's been doing it for years. But he's almost unbearable to listen to because, you know, he doesn't think the business can adapt or change.
Yeah.
Like, he's into the old brawl, you know, beat him up, you know, no personality pretty much, no characters pretty much. It's what I feel like he doesn't like characters or storytelling very much.
Or type like Joey Ryan type gimmicks necessarily.
Well, that's what I mean, gimmicks, characters, pretty much. I feel like he don't like that stuff. He likes to, you know, like, I'm sure the Revival he'd be a big fan of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, but guys that, you know, don't have the mold, like, okay, you're heavyweight, you're a heavy, you know, fat wrestler like Kevin Owens, for example. You know, he don't like that because he thinks you have to be buff and big. I don't know.
And see, that's where his mentality of like the 80s comes in, where now I agree on the part. I mean, yeah, he does. He's been in the business for so long. You know, there's no way that you can't have a great mind for it. But also, when you have the mentality that he does, your great mind becomes more of a hindrance than it does a help.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, because, like, yeah, okay, so you don't think Kevin Owens or Keith Lee or somebody like that isn't your prototypical wrestler look, but I'm pretty sure me and you both, amongst millions of other people, used to sit there on Ring of Honor and watch Kevin Owens wrestle for an hour. And, you know, and then in WWE, he's had some hell of a good matches in WWE and NXT. Who can forget his classics in NXT?
Look at Keith Lee now in NXT.
And then Keith Lee had a hell of a weekend over the weekend for NXT. And it was like, I mean, you don't, okay, so the era has changed. The wrestling landscape has changed. Guys like that. You know, Samoa Joe's another one. Who, by the way, when he retires, really should go into commentary. By the way, I just wanted to throw that out there because his commentary on Raw the other night was like superb.
Yeah,
but you know, you got guys like that. Okay, they don't look like they're definitely not chiseled from a block of marble. That's for sure. But it's not about that. It's about how good are their matches. Can they actually wrestle? Can they have good matches? All of those guys can have 5-star matches whenever they want to.
I think also his mentality is that big guys should be doing only power moves. He don't like that big guys are flipping in the air.
Again, okay.
Like Keith Lee doing a moonsalt. But it's like, okay. 300-something pounds.
It's like, okay, you know, you don't think big guys should be flipping, but what, you know, when somebody looks at Keith Lee, for example, doing his moonsaults, before Keith Lee does a moonsault, the part of the thing about, if you don't know who Keith Lee is and you're just seeing him for, you know, maybe the first time or something like that, wouldn't you want to showcase what you can do with your size? I mean, the guy moves, for a guy his size, the guy moves like a damn, like, middleweight.
Should you limit yourself?
You're in a business where, you know, evolving and changing with your, not only yourself, but with the styles is key to your success. So why would you not want to showcase, you know, okay, I might be 300 pounds, but I can go up to the top rope and do a moonsault. Why would you not want to showcase that?
And then I just think, you know, he's definitely, I think, very selfish because he put NWA in a terrible spot where him saying that makes it look like made the company themselves reflect those views.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't think.
That's what I mean. It's like you have a platform, you know, you're on a platform where, you know, NWA's coming back into the limelight now, and you're on that platform trying to help them grow. They've hired you to help them grow because you are a big name in the business. So it's like, all right, they're going to bring you on to help their growth continue. But then you say some things like that, of course, then you have to leave immediately. And then the company has to do all this PR work to say, we don't condone that. We had no idea of this before. You know, it's like you have to do all of this stuff. And while NWA's trying to come back into the limelight, now you got people sitting out there questioning, okay, do they really, I don't know if I'm going to watch NWA for a while. I don't know if they share that view or not. And then you've got to understand if you want to say these things, start your own damn promotion, start your own podcast or some crap.
Cornette does have his own podcast.
Oh God. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry for anybody that listens to that.
Cornette Experience or whatever it's called.
That's a 1-star experience. maybe that's giving him too much credit, but you know, it's the thing about is he's got one of those mentalities where he thinks he knows it and can do no wrong with it.
And you can't convince him otherwise.
And you can't convince him otherwise. You could sit there. We could have him on this show right now telling him why Owens and Lee and guys like that are great wrestlers and great for the business. And he'd be sitting here the whole time telling us we're fucking idiots.
Well, we might not hold any grain of salt, but Hunter himself could be explaining it to Cornette. Triple H himself could be explaining to Cornette like how the business has adapted and changed, and he would still be like, no, you don't know anything.
Yeah, the guys...
Two random podcasts aren't going to convince him, so that's why I use someone like Hunter.
Yeah, it's like, you could take Hunter, somebody like that, anybody. Hell, you could take Owens and Lee themselves, and they still wouldn't convince his ass.
He doesn't even like Generico either.
Why? Like, I mean, like,
I don't know. Didn't like it.
I mean, I guess because of all the he definitely did way in Cornette's mind way too many flips and high moves. I guess
stupid gimmick for a white guy.
Yeah, I guess he didn't. I guess he didn't think the luchador gimmick worked for for a white dude. But
Well, it is random, but Sammy pulled it off.
I would say that's what I mean. It's like you look at it and it's like that's when you first saw it, it was like, okay, this is really random, but then you watched it and it was like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah. So you bring up Star, so that I guess we'll transition to this next person, Dave Meltzer.
Oh, now this one right here, you know, with somebody else that we're going to get to here shortly coming onto the scene, Meltzer's looking like a damn genius nowadays, but definitely, trust me, that's not my opinion on the guy. Dave Meltzer is one of those guys where if he was to take his social media and his opinions and thoughts and walk off the edge of a cliff, nobody would give a shit, because the dude's got this in his head that he has the best sources in wrestling history, and that's way too high. That's way too low. Excuse me. 9.99% of the time, they're completely wrong and completely false.
And he never owns up to it.
And he comes, and then he always hides behind the excuse of they changed plans. My sources were correct, but they changed plans on us. And it's like, dude, you're nowhere around any situation that you ever cover, and yet you have all these sources that claim this and that, and then when it never happens, you can't just say, well, it sounded good to me, so I thought I could see how it might happen, so, you know, I reported it, but you can't just say I was wrong. That's what
the thing is, people pay for it.
And that's even, I mean, and I'm sorry.
The Wrestling Observer has a lot of...
And if you pay for this crap, you're just as stupid as Meltzer is. I'm sorry. It's like, if you're going to pay for this crap, then you really need to evaluate your priorities in life, because the track record speaks for itself. How many times, I think you can count on one hand, hell, you probably don't even need the whole hand, on how many times Meltzer has actually been right about something.
The Morrow situation lately, he was right on.
Like, so one situation out of, what, 100? That's not exactly the best odds there, Jack.
Only time I've ever seen him apologize was when Seth called him out on Twitter and was back then. He made some report that Seth had some, like, locker room meeting that was proven false. So then Meltzer apologized for it.
Okay, so... You report not credible news, and 99.9% unlikely to come true news, and the only time you can ever man up and apologize or, you know, correct yourself is when the wrestler or wrestlers in question call you out on it. I mean, it that's what it takes for you to apologize or own up to your mistakes.
And the sad thing is, he's not even the worst one anymore.
No, that's what I mean. It's like, that's why I said when I started my thought on him was, you know, we're going to get to somebody who's making him look like a damn genius nowadays. So
the thing I don't like about Meltzer, too, and don't get me wrong, New Japan's great, but he's very biased towards things like that. Like, Vince has his, like, downfalls, but does Meltzer ever seem like he's a partial, you know, dirt sheet dude?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does he ever seem like he's... I feel like he definitely has a lot of bias in some of his reporting.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Which is natural. I mean, a lot of journalists have that, but it's like... I don't know.
But see, it's like, a lot of journalists, they might have it, but they have a way of wording their stuff to where it doesn't seem like it at first, or at least on the surface. Meltzer just has that persona. It's like, his bias and his partialness... really come through in what he says. And
some of the classics we've gotten WWE lately, you know, he didn't even rate that high.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like
on NXT and stuff, he rates them okay, but some matches I think that weren't very good, he's ran like a 5 out of 5, but in other matches he's ran like a 3 out of 5, which I thought were 10 times better.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like he doesn't put that biasness aside long enough to actually credit what needs to be credited.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you do that, when you are a journalist like that, then I mean obviously a lot of idiots must think he's good on it because they pay for his crap, but I'm sorry, in my opinion, when you are a journalist like that, you lose all credibility on anything when you can't put down your biasness. That's like being, you know, that's like, well, that just comes to us fans. Like, you know, we might not like, you know, like something, but, or we might like something that everybody else doesn't like, but that doesn't mean we're being biased. But at the same
time, you can appreciate it.
Yeah. It's like,
if a wrestler you weren't a fan of, like, had a good match, you can at least appreciate that.
Like for us, Lesnar's, like, some of Lesnar's recent matches, we're definitely not fans of the guy, but we can, you know, we can sit there, like, his match with Rollins, you know, that match was really damn good.
Thin Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, like, it's like those matches, you know, we're not fans of Lesnar's by any stretch of the imagination, but we can sit there and go, all right, you know, that was a damn good match. Both guys brought it, and it was good. You know, everything about it was good, and we can say that it was good. But when you start to cover that up with, you know, it could have been no. That's where you lose your credibility to me in a journalist position.
And you don't like him, so you're trying to find something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and that can translate to a lot of things. You might not like this, but, you know, you might not thought that was good, but it's like, you can't say that. I mean, you can't do that in a way where your biasness doesn't play into it. That's my problem. That's one of my biggest problems with him.
All right, so now transitioning to another dirt shit. Oh god, so I didn't even know who this guy was until like a couple months ago, because people keep blocking, showing images as a badge of honor that he blocked him. Brad Shepherd. Like, did you have any idea who in the blue hell that guy even was recently?
I'd say probably up until about a month or so ago. I don't know who in the bluest of blue fucking hells Brad Shepherd even was. I mean, first off, the guy's profile picture, good lord, boy. You look like a damn accident that should never have happened. And then you have the balls to sit on Twitter and not only claim that you know all of this stuff about a business, which, mind you, you're not even in, you actually have the nerve. And this is where, I mean, the guy, I'll give the guy this. He definitely believes his own bullshit.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. The guy believes his own hype. The guy believes his own bullshit. But if you actually have the balls to sit there and say, you know what wrestlers think and how they should do things because they're wrestlers. Nah, dude, you seriously need to just shut the fuck up. And the fact that you're so pathetic that you have to sit here on Twitter day in and day out doing this to create this persona. I mean, I find it hard to comprehend that you are actually like that. He's actually like this in person, because, I mean, but then again, maybe that's why he plays it. That's why he does it so well. Maybe because he is. I don't know. The guy literally just looks like a damn mistake, personally. And I mean, hell, he looks like the preppy version of Dave. But the guy.
And then when he's right on something, I'm looking at his tweets, and he's like literally flaunting everyone's face that he's the best thing in wrestling today with his reports on when he's right and stuff. Okay, it's just he's embarrassing.
Okay, so you're right about one thing that you say, and you need to send out 5 tweets about how you're right and everybody was wrong. Bro, you honestly, seriously need to take a step back, look at your life, and realize that you are just one sad, pathetic motherfucker. He's anti what? WWE? AEW? What is he? Like anti...
Very anti-AEW, very anti-small guys.
Okay, so he's like a combination of Meltzer and Cornette rolled into one, with some of his mentality thoughts on. It's like, you're very anti. It's like, why are you anti AEW? First off, why are you anti? It's like, what made you anti them? And then you're anti small guys, dude. Your picture looks like you are the definition of a small guy. Or, I don't know, maybe all the girls you've ever been with told you were small.
So he claims he's 6'6".
Okay, well then all the girls that you've ever tried to hit on must have tried to give you some, and they told you were small. That's why you're anti-small guy.
He doesn't like Johnny Gargano.
Well, guess what? Johnny Gargano don't like him neither. So
no, my point is, though, like, this dude's a tool.
I mean, like, this...
He thinks he's... Like, okay, he got a couple reports right today. Like, he apparently reported that Sheamus was returning today and all that. So he's like, yeah,
but,
see? I'm better than Dave Meltzer and anybody out here. I actually have my good sources. But see, here's the thing. Watching everybody's faces.
Here's the thing. You're reporting that Sheamus, and by the way, Sheamus didn't actually return today. He showed up on the Titantron cutting a promo. He didn't actually show up.
His point is, though, he was on the show.
So you're going to take credit for reporting an article that was actually leaked 2 days ago?
I think he's the one that leaked it.
I didn't see he was the one that leaked it. I saw it elsewhere.
He hates Meltzer, which is funny because they're like literally the same.
Dude, you need to go down to the...
You need to go down to the
DNA bank and get a DNA test. I think Meltzer might be your damn dad. What are you talking about?
Me, I just don't like dirt sheet guys in general. I don't like guys that try to dig up something to ruin another person's career.
And see, that's where the sad, pathetic individual comes in, because you're not where you think you should be in life, so you're gonna take all this time and effort and energy out of your one life that you get to try to dig up shit to ruin somebody else because you're not content with where you're at.
And then they ruin the business for the fans. Like, yeah, dirt sheets are cool once in a while, but you know, they've taken the surprise element completely out of wrestling now.
The only dirt sheet that even belongs is kayfabe news, because that shit's funny as hell.
Oh, and they have credible sources apparently, according to Dave. So,
I mean, that shit's just funny. But these guys, you know, Meltzer, Cornette, Shepherd, all of these guys. These are the guys that give wrestling, not just like as a business as a whole, a bad name, truthfully.
Those dudes are all just jokes, period.
I mean, because they're the guys that are doing all this crap to... They don't realize, though, they're actually shaming what they're claiming to love, which is completely opposite of what they say they're in it for, but the contrary is you're actually shaming it. You're not helping it in any way, shape, or form by being a fucking dickbag.
If this guy's credible, why does he only have 5,000 followers? I know some of our podcast friends that have more to him.
Well,
followers, I mean,
he must have some spare dollars lying around. He must have bought half of those.
He blocks a lot of people. Yeah, 6,000 followers for a supposed insider.
Yeah. I mean, hey, there's still some sites up that you can buy Twitter followers from. He just didn't buy many, so he wouldn't make it look obvious.
Has to have his numbers look cool, bro. 300 followers, 6,000. 300 following, 600 followers.
Yeah.
So, whatever I'm looking for. I don't give a shit about. The only reason I didn't bring him up is because somehow people are giving the guy a time of day. Even when they block him, like, why show it? You're just spreading his name around.
I'll say, you know, if the guy blocks you, don't tweet the picture and say, oh, look, Brad Shepherd blocked me. Because all that's doing is putting more publicity on a piece of shit dickbag that doesn't deserve the time of day.
Or when the WWE Fox Twitter account mentions him for having false things. Like, once again, another fan's giving that dude spotlight that
you have the WWE on Fox account doing that crap. No wonder he's got an ego the size of the freaking planet Earth.
All right. So we could spend all night on Shepherd. I don't know. Him and Meltzer are all pieces of work. But, all right, up next, this is going to be an interesting one because it's definitely fresh and kind of on everyone's minds right now. Corey Graves.
Oh, shit. That's a good one. I mean,
foreshadowing, Corey made a Twitter tweet during TakeOver, if I remember, saying that, yeah, you wouldn't know that there's a former Ring of Honor champion and WWE Hall of Famer on the announce table. I'm sure they would have a lot to say during this match right now.
Yeah, pretty much insinuating that Ranullo was taking all the commentary.
Being an attention glory hog. So, Corey, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because this is one where I have some good things to say to him, but that tweet just kind of like... And the thing is, WWE's playing him off as he's the victim.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're labeling more so him the victim than anything.
And they're saying that he was supposed to tweet that because it was supposed to be causing brand division. But WWE knows very well, even if that's the case, you know, Mauro has mental health problems. That's very well documented.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, to call him out on Twitter and embarrass him because, you know, It'd be one thing if, you know, fans weren't, you know, toxic, but, you know, he's tagged in, you know, people go to Morrow's mentions and say, yeah, Corey's right about you.
Yeah.
You're glory hog. You're not good for the business. You suck.
Again, yeah. Not using your platform correctly, watching what you say. Because, like, okay, if Corey was supposed to tweet those things causing brand separation and all of that, you know, Corey's a smart guy, you know, and that he could have easily tweeted that in a way that would have done the objective, but not made it look like he was trying to attack Ranullo. And I think that's where he fucked up really bad was, you know, when you, I don't know if Ranullo obviously wasn't told about this, or if he worded it in, he definitely worded it wrong. And yeah. Then, you know, you got to think before you send that, you know, not only with, trust me, coming from somebody who also has, you know, mental health struggles.
Why you took 3 weeks off.
Hence why I wasn't here for 3 weeks. It can be very, very easily triggered. And especially if he was not told about the beef or that they were trying to do with the whole brand thing, if he wasn't told about this and then all of a sudden he gets on Twitter and his mentions are full of people telling him he sucks and Corey's right, it's like, wait, what did Corey see? You know, he doesn't even know what the hell's going on. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it's just in the way that Corey said it with the outreach that Corey has, you know, because Corey does have a lot of fans, and, you know, I'm pretty much a Graves fan myself, but in this particular instance, it's like, dude, you really, really fucked up with this.
And I like Corey Graves. I think he's a good announcer. So, you know, it's just like, come on, man. And come on, whoever told him to put those tweets.
Well,
they should know,
like,
better.
Well, it's like, if you were trying to continue with the whole brand thing, the dominance, whatever, you could have definitely tweeted that in a way that got the objective done, but not personally attacked one.
See,
of...
I think the problem is Corey Graves is a douche, and so you never know if he's being legit, like trying to be an ass,
right?
Or if he's, you know, playing up to a script,
right? Because I definitely,
I'm a fan of the guy, but he's a douche.
Yeah,
he can,
like,
be a big time douche.
He's definitely got the douchebag part on lock. And
so, you know, you can't tell if he was being serious, so his fans take it as he's being serious.
And if he, and you know, maybe he was intending it to be 100% innocent, but with how Corey is, you don't know what you're getting, because he doesn't emphasize one part or the other. So, of course, all of his fans that hang on everything that he says are going to be like, oh, you know, Corey's right. You know, this guy sucks.
Hey, Corey isn't even the lead commentator on NXT. I mean, SmackDown. That's Cole. So yeah. Why not have him attack the other color commentator who understands the business more than Nigel?
Right, right.
It made a little more sense.
If Cole would have said something like about that and everybody was tweeting Nigel that he sucks or whatever, you know, get somebody like that who understands how, or even Beth, people that understand how it's supposed to work, but... And especially, like, if, you know, even if they weren't told about it, it's like, oh, I can continue this. But when you have somebody like Ranullo, who I don't think he was told about this, and then he gets on Twitter and all of a sudden everybody's telling him he sucks.
He's been gone, deactivated, hasn't showed up to work since.
Yeah, and it's like, you've got to understand with this type of thing, if you just sat down with Ranullo and said, hey, you know, I'm going to tweet this about you, are you okay with this? And now be prepared for some Twitter internet mentions saying things, but, you know, this is what we're doing, and, you know, me and you were cool, all that. If they would have done that, it definitely wouldn't have gotten the reaction that it got.
So we'll transition to Ranullo himself. What are your thoughts on Ranullo? Do you agree with some of Corey's sentiments on commentary? Some of his commentary action?
I don't agree with how it was worded. I think there are at times when Ranullo gets a little too into it, and it makes, you know, and I'm not saying he's bad. I think he's actually one of my favorite commentators in the company right now.
He's become one of my favorites. I didn't like it when he first came in.
At the beginning, it's definitely a grown on like, and it definitely grew on me. And I don't think he was right on how he worded or what he said. I just the only issue that I have with Rinaldo is I think at times he does get a little too into it, and it makes it really hard to understand what he's either what he's saying, or just you can tell he's trying just a little bit too hard to like scream it out. But other than that, I mean, I think he's great. And
so here's the thing with Rinaldo. I'm going to cut you. So I believe, I don't know if he's still doing it, but he did come from Bellator. He was an MMA announcer.
Yeah.
And, you know, when there's a big spot in a fight, like a knockout, both announcers usually screaming on each other with some kind of reaction.
Right.
So that's, he's used to the chaos on the big moment. So that's, you know, how he does it. So I think it's kind of like he's trying to bring some of that style into NXT.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think Nigel and Beth probably give a shit at all.
No.
They know that's how he is, but, you know, I could see why it comes over the top a little bit.
Yeah. And it's like,
I said, I didn't like him at first.
And it's like, I know how in MMA and things, when the fight's decided or when the knockouts and all that, how they express it. But it's like with some of Rinaldo's NXT commentary, it's like I know he brings that edge to it, but then there's moments when I don't think that it's needed that he does it, and then it's like, you know, when he does it for Ciampa and Cole did that spot off the top
of Mamma Mia,
sense. See, right there it was perfect. But then there's some spots that are kind of subtle that he does it where it's not needed. I think more so. Let me rephrase it. I think there's times when he does it that it's not needed, that he could save it for times that are.
Yeah.
That's,
I don't know.
I mean, I think overall, I mean, I think the guy's great. Like, you know, you and me both. It's like at the beginning, it definitely took a minute to grow on me. But I mean, the guy's definitely one of my favorite commentators in the company. And I hope he doesn't end up leaving the company again for some crap like this.
No, Corey did apologize. I don't know how truthful it was. It took him a few days. I kind of wonder.
I think probably just because he probably had to.
I think he didn't want to, because I don't think he meant it in a malicious intent. So he's like, why should I apologize for it?
Yeah, that's why. But, you know,
the backlash I'm having is kind of.
That's why the apology was half-assed.
Vince probably told him to just do it and get it over with.
I mean, I think that's why the apology came off really half-assed.
Yeah, it wasn't very sincere at all.
It didn't have like
he hasn't even deleted tweets, I don't think, yet.
Yeah, it felt nothing like a legit sincere thing.
So, the next guy, and I have nothing but good things about to say about, but he is controversial in the wrestling community. CM Punk.
There's a guy. I've been following Punk's career since the early ROH days. I've never had one bad thing to say about the guy. I absolutely love the guy. I love his style, his persona. It's like, you know, I'm going to do what I want, how I want, when I want. And, I mean, some people like that and some people don't. But what I love most about Punk is he's always so open on, like, look, you know, if you know, I'm an asshole. It's like, I can be an asshole. And, you know, there's nothing fake about Punk in any way, shape, or form. And when you have that heart on your sleeve type, and which Punk actually does have a heart on his sleeve, you know, when you have that persona about you, and that's who you are, and you don't change for anybody or anything. He never changed for WWE. He forced his way into his spot. And, you know, he fought for it. And he walked out of millions because he wasn't happy. He didn't want to do it anymore. It's like when you walk like that to the beat of your own drum, and there's going to be people that like it. There's going to be people that don't. And the people that you don't, I mean, hell, Punk don't give two shits about what people who don't think. And hell, I'm sure he probably doesn't even care what the people who do care think.
I'm saying, I don't think you care that you're fans of him.
I don't. And that's what I love about what I love about him is like he doesn't care what anybody thinks. I mean,
except for AJ.
Except for what his wife thinks of him. But obviously, she thinks the world of him because she let him put the ring on it.
He turned his back on his own best friend.
I mean, yes, he was done with Colt Cabana, so he walked out on that. He fucked him over. Like, dude, I mean, when you are like that, there's always going to be a divided group. People love you. People don't. People look at you as like, oh, he left WWE. He's a quitter. He's, you know, he can't handle it, all that other crap. But then there's people like us who it's like, dude, you know, you do what you want to do. And it's like, we love you no matter what you do. And it's like,
I think the controversy right him, though, is specifically that. Why would you come to, if you're going to come back, why would you go to WWE backstage? You sold out for
like,
money.
Yeah.
While not wanting to do the actual thing itself.
Well, it's like, I mean, but the thing about it is.
Do you like him on backstage? You think it's a good fit?
I think if it's what he wants to do, I mean, if that's how, if that's as close as to coming back to WWE as he wants to get, then I think it's great. I mean, I think it's great for him. I enjoyed his piece on backstage, and you know, he's really good at it because it doesn't, it's one of those shows where normally I don't really dig shows like backstage too much. But the way they've got backstage set up with Renee and Paige and all, you know, it's Booker. Booker can be taken out of the equation. That guy sucks. But except the weird, I'm going to go on a just quick little side note. How in the hell can a guy go from being a hell of a performer and a really damn good mic worker in his career to after his career being complete ass?
To a complete terrible analyst on commentary
but
backstage.
But anyway, it's like, I mean, I think, you know, I don't normally dig shows like that, but backstage is set up in a way it's fun, it's entertaining. And I think personally it's the right place for Punk because of how he is his personality and the way that, you know, he can say things like he did about Rollins on there, and he can, you know, he can mention things like that and not worry about, okay, Vince in his ear when he gets backstage about, you know, why'd you say that? I don't like this. Like, no, he can say what he wants, do how he wants, work like he wants, and he still has some type of association with WWE. He might be hired.
I think that's his thing. He probably misses talking wrestling.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to be contracted and held down by Vince because he's 100% contracted to Fox.
Yeah, it's like he's hired by Fox, but he works for a WWE show, but he's paid and contracted by Fox. So he can go on there, he can talk, he can talk about the business that he loves, he can have fun, have some laughs, and, you know, see old friends and things, and he can do what he wants to do, and he's not held down by anything. And me personally, I love it. I'm glad that he's at least in some way, shape, or form associated with WWE.
He looks happy doing it.
And it's like, I mean, his appearance on there, he looked great. He looked like he was rested. He had a lot of fun doing it. Looked like he was happy doing it. And if that's as close as he wants to come back, then, you know, that's whatever he wants to do. And he can sit there, he can talk wrestling for an hour, have fun. He's not held down by anything, and people need to accept that fact that it's like, look, in some way, shape, or form, after all these years, Punk is associated with WWE again.
Now, on the whole 100% contract Fox thing, dude, I still think in some sort Vince had to give Fox permission to do that, though.
I mean, I'm sure
Vince and Hunter are involved in some sort with that decision, at least.
I mean, I'm sure you know, Vince gave the permission because he doesn't have a problem with Vince. It's Hunter that he has the problem with. And, you know, Vince probably told him, it's like, yeah, sure, you know, let him on there.
Vince wants to keep Fox happy. If Fox wants Punk, Vince is like, okay, have Punk.
I mean, I know Vince was pissed that he didn't help the ratings of backstage like he thought Punk would, but
did you see the ratings this week? Even worse.
But it's like, you've got to understand, backstage comes on in the middle of the week at like 11 o'clock Eastern time on a work night when people got to get up and go to work, when majority of people have to get up and go to work the next morning, and they're not going to sit up till 12 o'clock no matter who's on there. I mean, hell, you could have Punk, Rock, Austin, everybody on that damn show. People wouldn't be sitting up till, if they got to get up at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And
well, wrestling's saturated during the week as it is.
And exactly. So, I mean,
SmackDown, Dynamite, NWA Power.
But it's just NXT, one of those things. So. I mean, after all these years, I'm glad he's back talking wrestling. I mean, would we love to see him back? And of course we would. But if this is what he wants to do, more power to him. He looks like he's having fun. So I hope he continues at least doing this.
Do you think he comes back into the ring at some point?
I think at least maybe once.
See, I don't know, because at first, you know, you have Rollins working this match, you know, trying to build something up. It's like, okay, maybe there's something building here, but then Vince got pissed at Seth because it's not happening. He can't guarantee that match.
I'll say, that's what pissed Seth or Vince off about what Seth said, is he's teasing a match that Vince himself doesn't even know if he can make it happen.
Yeah,
because
Punk's stubborn.
I think, I'm not going to say 100% sure. Yeah, he comes back. I think at least once he'll have one, but there's a side of me that's, you know, I think, yeah, he'll have one, but in the grander scheme, I don't think so.
Just 6 years. I've lost hope on a match.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's that side, like, you know, with both of us, me and you, it's like, yeah, we think, of course, you know, WrestleMania being the perfect time.
A little biases there,
but, you know, you could see it, or I should say, we don't think we could see it. There's the proper way to word that. We could see it, but I don't think it's going to happen after all these years.
I just think with him joining WWE in some sort, has his speculation higher.
Yeah, of course, because he's...
Than ever.
It's the first time in 6 years that he's done anything WWE related, and of course now that he's acknowledging the company again, of course people are going to speculate, oh, wonder how they're going to get him on the show for they can build up his match. He's going to have a match at Mania or something. The speculation's there, but I mean, I'm in the same boat you're in as far as, you know, it's been 6 years. Let's if this is
he's not even on WWE backstage full
every
time.
Yeah, he's not even there every week. So if this is as far as he wants to take it, at least if you want to see Punk talk WWE or do anything WWE related, backstage is there, and he can continue doing his own thing.
All right, so Seth Rollins
needs to go away for about 12 months, and I'd be happy.
Damn, really?
Yeah, he needs to go. And then he can, on a side note, I know we're not talking about her, but he can take Charlotte with him. But yeah, Seth can go away for about 12 to 24 months, and I'd be okay with that.
Why?
Because the guy, as big of a fan as I am of Seth's, been a Seth fan for many, many years, and I know you have as well, but mm-hmm. I don't think as much as he wants to be the guy, I don't think he can handle it. I don't think his detriment, his...
Not as a baby face.
Definitely not as a baby face. Now, I hopefully his apology on Raw Monday night leads to a that would be a great place to continue the heel turn that they've been teasing for him.
I think they're forming a new Shield.
Oh, God.
I think him and AOP.
Well, either way, I mean... That's just awful to think about, but I mean, I don't think the guy can handle it. I don't think the guy has the mentality, because as we've seen before, his ego can and almost has gotten the better of him. I mean, hell, he was almost fired from NXT for it. You know, he's had that. I'm sure he's had that talked about him since he's been on the main roster. I don't think the guy is capable, personally capable. I mean, he's a great wrestler, one of the best wrestlers. As a heel, I think his heel work definitely outweighs his face work by a long shot, because I think that is a lot of him. His heel work, the way he plays the heel, I think is a lot of him.
Because he's cocky.
Very cocky. He's very egotistic, and he's good and he knows it, and that's, of course, not always a good thing. So... I think with the way that he's been conducting himself and the way that he's been trying to be the guy, it would be better off if he either just turns straight heel or just personally goes away for a while, and then maybe we won't be so tired of him anymore.
So I'm a big Rollins fan. First and foremost, he needs to do is deactivate his Twitter for good.
Please.
And I think he's way too thin-skinned to be a head guy of a company.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I know it's weird because everyone's like, Roman, go away, please. If we're going to sell him the Shield, let it be Seth be the top guy. Right. Now it's like, man, maybe Roman was better.
Yeah, you see, there's a
old, and I'm a Roman fan too. I wasn't saying that, but that was the consensus on.
Oh, yeah. And see, there's an old saying that says, you never know what you got until it's gone. And I know Roman, I know when Roman was the guy, you know, everybody was sick of it, but you know, now
or John
or John and those guys. But when you actually, when you take that away and then you realize maybe what we were hating on wasn't so bad, because this crap that we're getting now as our top guy is garbage.
He's letting a guy from a whole nother company get under his skin.
Well,
I mean, he let Kenny Omega, he let Will Ospreay get under his skin.
Well, yeah, Will Ospreay, like Will
and threw his bank account at him.
Will Ospreay works on the other side of the fucking world, does not give a flying shit about what you're doing, and then you throw your bank account at him. And I think I know
all he did was jokingly put, Seth said he was the best planet in the wrestler in the world, and WWE's the best wrestling in the world. Yeah. Ospreay commented, what about me? And that's when Seth started getting it to
and
it.
It's like,
him.
You know, I think back when, I don't know if you saw the match that where Seth was departing ROH with Davey Richards.
Yeah.
When Davey Richards grabbed the mic and said, you know, if you get tired of having them sign your paychecks there, boy, you can tell all of them to come down to Ring of Honor. We'll show you what real wrestling is. Well, now Seth has went on to make that bank that he said he was going to make, and he thinks he's some badass. It's like
his ego, he forgets his roots.
Yeah.
Forgets that AW and all those guys there are pretty much what he was, is Tyler Black.
Right. I mean,
it's not just his fault. Like, Kenny and AW have their own problems of social media,
but it's just
and
like,
talking.
I mean, you, so, you know, okay, you comment, you think, you say WWE, you say you're the best wrestler in the world, and that WWE is the best wrestling in the world. Okay, you know, as the top guy of the company, you're supposed to say things like that. Honestly, when I say WWE is the best wrestling on the planet, I have a little puke in my mouth, because that's the farthest.
That's entertainment, that's, wrestling.
Yeah,
no.
But it's just like, you know, okay, you say that, you're supposed to say that as the top guy. But then, you know, honestly, probably arguably up with Kenny Omega, one of the best wrestlers in the world right now, and Will Ospreay comments, you know, what about me? Instead of throwing your bank account at him because you're employed by some dumbass billionaire who has more money than sense, you know, instead of saying, you know, maybe we should meet and settle it, something like that.
That's what he's been saying to Kenny lately, but it's like,
I mean, but Ospreay set the door open for it, pretty much propped up the, you know, why don't we have a match someday and we'll see who the better, you know, instead, oh, dude, well, when you get your bank account as big as mine, come talk to me.
He's good off Kenny, too. Once you get out of the minor leagues, then come talk to me.
Yeah, okay, once you get out of the minor leagues, right. But it's just the way that Seth is, and I agree. It's like, what?
I like the sarcasm on that. Like, yeah, the minor leagues, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, the way that my show was,
I'll say, the only time since AEW's existed that they felt like the minor leagues was last Wednesday. But it's just like, the way that he's become, it's one of those things, I agree with, dude, get off, like when Punk said, dude, you just need to get off Twitter. You're really bad at it. And he really is bad at it. And it's just like, it's a shame to see how far he's gone from what we know Seth Rollins, you know, what a lot of people know Seth Rollins as.
And all happened the last few months too. Like, he was super over and wasn't come off as a complete tool. But after WrestleMania, he started the whole Becky angle.
Wait, I figured it out. I know why Rollins is being such a douche lately.
He's the man's man.
No, he's figuring out that Vince was calling him Becky's bitch. I got it. I knew
he
it.
Was low key. That's which funny he was. That's back end compliment.
So he's trying to prove he's his own man. Yeah. What the fuck, dude?
And this is the company part. Ring of Honor. They're in the news a lot right now because they
are
fired.
Ass?
Yes, but they fired Kelly Klein via email.
Via email for what reason was it?
It wasn't really a reason at all.
Exactly. There you go. Now, this me and you have, you know, on
that's what I mean. We've discussed in person. So I can't discuss on the show.
I say me and you have we've hinted at it on past shows, and me and you have sat on chats many a times talking about this. This one, for both me and you, this one hurts. I mean, truly, it really does hurt, because, as you know, being lifelong fans as we are, and how much we love this business, Ring of Honor was always that flag bearer of a company that was 100% truly, and for the longest time, the best wrestling company.
They were AEW way before AEW existed,
and they were the go to. I mean, if you look at the who's who that has come from, that has gone through Ring of Honor. Chris Hero, CM Punk, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Christopher Daniels, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong,
Cesaro,
Owens, Zayn. I mean,
O'Reilly, Fish, all of Undisputed Era except for Cole.
It's like Adam Cole was there for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was mostly Evolve.
But he appeared there for. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, and then.
I can't forget Daniel Bryan, who's
and Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah, the two heart and souls of Ring of Honor.
And then Hunter pretty much sucks them dry.
That's how good Ring of Honor was, though. They were literally the developmental system.
That just goes to show what they were producing. But then that happens. They lose those guys, and then Ring of Honor makes the fatal mistake of betting, pretty much as the old cliche goes, betting the farm on the elite. And those guys are way too good and way too talented to be tied down to a company like Ring of Honor. So they leave, and then what do? PCO? And now, don't get me wrong.
Bubba Ray.
It's like, don't get me wrong. I like PCO. PCO is a crazy son of a bitch. I really like the guy. But he's also 53 years old. And, you know, Marty Scurll will be out of there before too long.
November. He's done.
So he's got one more, I think Final Battle. He's signed on for Final Battle in December. And then after December, cause Final Battle is the 13th of December. And he signed on with a match with Flip. I can't remember who their opponents are, but after that, come 2020, he'll be in AEW. And it's just like the thing about, then they've lost their way management. They've lost their way with talent. They're so, honestly, they're not even worth watching half the time, because half the guys haven't been built up properly to know who in the hell they are. I mean, I'll give Jay Lethal and the Briscoes the props. They're still troopers. They're still there, but it really hurts to see how far they've fallen. And then you have a talent like Kelly Klein. And I mean, who's a hell of a wrestler. I really like her work. And you fire her via email. You don't even have the common decency to bring her in or to fly out to her and tell her that she's released. You have to do it. And first off, who the fuck sends emails anymore? That's another one. Wait a minute.
Wrestlers take a lot of emails for bookings, but other than that, yeah, I mean, management-wise.
I would say, I understand having an email account set up for if you're trying to get bookings and things, but actual conversation, who the fuck sends emails? I mean, you couldn't even, I mean, hell, it'd have been better off if you'd have called her on the phone than sending her a damn 1999 email. And I'm sorry, if it would not surprise me if in the next year or two Ring of Honor ceases operation. As far,
I don't know. I mean, we've been sending out TNA for years.
I mean, it would. So. I'm not saying that they're going to, because obviously TNA. But hell, I'll give it the Impact. They've definitely been on the up lately.
Oh, they look good.
They've looked really good. Which
Tessa
is good.
And Sammy Callahan have blessedly breathed a nice life into Impact.
Which is really good. I'm happy to see that. Because I never want to see a company fold at all.
And that's shocking, because most wrestling fans think you have to pick a side now.
Yeah, it's so. Like I love this business. I don't love one company. I don't want to see a company, because that means people lose jobs. I don't want to see anybody lose a job. But Ring of Honor. I noticed somebody sent a tweet out. I don't remember who it was, so I'm not going to quote them. But I saw a tweet. They were in Nashville about a couple months ago. Ring of Honor was. The last time that Ring of Honor was in Nashville a couple years ago, they drew like 3,000 people. That show that this dude tweeted the picture from, they had just about 400.
Their attendance is plummeted.
Yeah, their attendance is god awful, and that's because you don't they bet the farm on the elite, and when those guys can, especially guys like Cody and Kenny and the Bucks and things like that, those guys are way too good to be doing Ring of Honor for years on end. So you shouldn't have that was their first mistake, was thinking that those guys were going to be your flag bearers. And then when they left, the failure to build up anybody of I'm trying not to word this, to not, I don't want to be disrespectful, but
haven't developed a star.
They haven't and you're going in the route of the old star of, you know, Bully Ray and PCO. And now, you know, with PCO, I'm happy that finally in his career he's gotten a break. But to be the top guy of a company at his position is definitely something that you shouldn't be building around, because he's got maybe, what, two more good years in him, if that. And, you know, it's just painful to see how far they've fallen.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I remember... Because, you know, they gave Impact runner. I believe they took Impact over as the second biggest company in the United States. You know,
hell yeah.
I think most people say New Japan's the second biggest in the world, behind WWE, of course. But
right, in the United States, Ring of Honor was the it.
Yeah, so I think they, you know, because of the guys you mentioned, it's just like, what happened, man? Like, what went wrong in your management? You know, the elite thing definitely went wrong.
I mean, I understand. I can't imagine being in ROH management position and, you know, finding out it's like, okay, all these guys, top guys in the world, Brian, Cesaro, you know, so on and so on, are leaving. How hard that must be for a company that was built on all of that, you know, all of those guys. I know how hard that must be how hard that must be.
It makes you wonder if someone important left management that brought all those guys in that was developing them.
It's like, you got to wonder where their management went, because after those guys, because it doesn't make sense. It had to have been something in management, at least I think, because when all those guys left and then all of a sudden the elite comes in and they're solely it. There's nobody, because Ring of Honor.
Who was developing those guys when they were getting developed? It makes you wonder.
It's like, exactly, because back in Brian and Nigel and Adam and Roderick and all of those guys, you know, Roger, all those O'Reilly,
Cedric wasn't even there.
All of those guys that came through ROH, you know, there wasn't just one group. There wasn't just one guy. There wasn't just one feud, one anything that would make you want to see a show or buy a pay-per-view or anything. It was a bunch of guys. It was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys.
In the tag team and the singles.
And it had honestly, probably some of the best tag team wrestling ever.
And yeah, the Wolves, and, which I think TNA's also took a few guys, because isn't Eddie Edwards in TNA still?
Yes, he is.
Davey's retired, but
It's just like, and then when all that is wiped away, and then all of a sudden the elite are the sole force in Ring of Honor, when Ring of Honor has never been built like that ever. So you got to wonder what happened back with management of the company, that all of a sudden they go from having 8, 9, 10 stars in high profile feuds and matches and things, to one group was it, and then when they left, there's nothing.
Marty Scurll, and that was about it.
Yeah, I mean, Villain Enterprises is probably the best thing ROH has had, and that's thanks to Marty Scurll's amazing talent. And Flip Gordon, I really like Flip Gordon too.
And Jay, I've always liked Jay Lethal, but
You know, of course, Jay, and then the Briscoes, those damn dudes are troopers. Love those guys.
So I want to end the show on one more company, and then we'll call it AEW. They're very, very controversial.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on AEW?
I mean, I love AEW, as we've talked about before. We love wrestling, and with the things that they've managed to do in the short time they've been a company, who they've managed to hire and things. But I think that their last week's show kind of showed the lack of development, talent development, a little bit. I think that that's something they're really gonna have to work on. They've been pretty good on the WWE shots lately. Been pretty not great. Still another room for improvement. I think their women's division needs a lot of work.
Their audio too. Their audio was garbage this last week.
Yeah, their audio. And I think JR's been watching a little Jim Cornette. I hate to say that about JR, but I heard his
JR just needs to retire. I heard
his comments when I can't remember yeah. who is it that dresses like Freddie Mercury when she comes out. He made a kind of like an Oriental reference when she came out. That was
it Sakura?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or Sheeta?
No. It was
I actually didn't hear a reference.
Yeah, it was who Rio faced at at her trainer Sakura, I think.
Yeah.
When she came out, you know, Freddie Mercury's a big influence of hers, and he made some not exactly in the best taste reference about her. And I think he really, honestly, as much as I hate
to say, he's old school himself.
Yeah, and I think as much as we both hate to say it, I think it might be time for Jared to put down the headset. But as far as everything up to this point of their existence, I think they've done. I think they've relied way too much on the shots of hey, we're the new kids in town kind of mentality. But as far as their roster is second to none. They have some of the best talent in the world. They have the best wrestler in the world signed to them. They have Le Champion,
Mox
and Sky and Daniels and Kaz, and you know, they have, like I said, they just need to work on they're still in the growing stages of producing a top-notch show. And
so
I think they need to, the biggest things for me is their talent development and their women's division is the biggest two things I think they need to work on. But as far as a company as a whole, I love them.
I love W. I mean, AEW. I mean, I do love W. Yeah, I know that's kind of a controversial show, but I love it. AEW. I feel like the momentum's kind of sinking.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think that nostalgic factor, like you said, is worn off.
The newness, as you call it, the freshness is
beginning to fade. I think they're still doing the same formulas they were doing on that momentum. You know, Chicago was dead. That's bad because AEW is strictly wrestling, a hardcore wrestling. You know,
probably
now that in their defense too, Chicago had a lot packed into that week.
Yeah,
but
I think they were a little bit over saturated with wrestling that week. But at the same time, AEW is the company that Chicago would love because of their outlook at wrestling. And I still think they should have been a whole hell of a lot better for that.
They're not selling out. Fortunately, the arenas have been empty a lot.
Yeah, their tickets going on sale and selling out in an hour is over.
No, but even then, I don't know if that's scalpers or how they're doing that, but the arenas have definitely been empty a lot more lately. They lost their first ratings to NXT finally, so I don't know where the momentum is on that. We'll have to see what the ratings were this week. I do expect NXT to win ratings this week because it's post Survivor Series.
Right.
And AEW really did not put a good show on either.
Yeah, I mean, for AEW standard, it was pretty bad.
I think AEW is too lenient on a select handful of guys. They got talent, you know, don't get me wrong, but they don't, like, their talent just shows up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not everybody watches AEW Dark or Being the Elite, so it's like, you gotta figure something out to get, you know, like.
Yeah, you have to have you look at their roster, you have a core group. Most everybody knows who their core group is. You don't have to do as much with them as guys like, for example, who was it that came out this week?
Ali and Butcher and.
Yeah, it's like with those. Not everybody knows who those guys are. I didn't even know who they were.
I take my pride in knowing wrestling, but I didn't even know who those guys were.
Me and, it's like, you know, we didn't know who they were. I'm sure a lot of people didn't. And then, like, for example, when, you know, they're more established now, but, like, when the Dark Order came into AEW you know, guys like they haven't gotten the grasp on talent development yet. As far as outside of their core group, and we're not talking about their core group. Outside of their core group, I don't think they've gotten gotten it down on that area yet.
And the women's division is just a shit show.
And the women's division is pretty much what, three women:
Rio, Britt Baker, Sheeta more lately,
and then Nyla.
Even then, what, she's on TV that
and
much.
I'm sorry, Britt Baker is not that damn good. I mean, she needs some work. She needs a lot of work, and it's their women's division is really, really bad, and that needs a lot of work. So I mean, it's as
and yes, you've been yes they've been less on the W shots, but Cody and Jericho still take them frequently,
and so that's another area they need to stop.
Like Kenny and the Bucks have stopped a little bit, but.
I mean, okay, we know we definitely know both of you came from there. We understand that. And now you're
Jericho, good God.
I mean, Jericho was there for damn 15 years. Like, we understand. And you don't need to keep, you know, showing the fact that hey, we left there, now we're in our own company. Great.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts. AEW, you know, they're great. I love them, but they got to change up their recipe a little bit. I don't know how they're going to do that. I'm not a booker. You know, I'll still watch them weekly live.
I mean, I think they need to quickly acknowledge that their momentum has slowed and find the remedy for it before it gets worse.
For NXT just obliterates them.
Yeah.
I unfortunately have a feeling because you and me were worried. You know, AEW was killing them, but you kept saying, you know, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Hunter's kind of starting to show that a little bit.
Well, because, I mean, who knows better than most people in the business about marathons and sprints when it comes to ratings battles? I mean, Hunter was there. He lived it.
Vince.
I mean, Hunter, Vince, and hell, even Jericho. They were there. They lived it. And Hunter, nowadays, Hunter and Vince, since Jericho's gone, Hunter, I mean, they were there. They lived it. Hunter lived it. He had to wrestle through it. So
we have veterans like Sean with Hunter in NXT and stuff. So I mean, Regal,
it's like they were there. They understand how it's like better than I think AEW does on definitely better than AEW does.
I just think AEW is too top heavy at the start of their run, where they kind of like it seems like we're seeing the same matches a lot over and over. And it feels like WWE booking, like main roster.
And they need to if they want to get that momentum back, they need to find the remedy really quickly.
Yeah, maybe have some of the same matches we see over and over on AEW Dark and bring some of your AEW Dark matches to the show.
Right.
Like, where's Joey Janela? Like, he boycotted even going because of the way they're booking him and stuff. So it's just like,
and see, it's way too early for you to be having talent unhappy with your booking that early.
Because it does feel, once again, it's a lot of, it's the Inner Circle and the Elite. That feels like, with the addition of Sky in them, that's all the show feels like.
Right.
That's not good. So,
all right.
I think that covers a whole bunch of controversial topics. We just kind of wanted to shoot the breeze on a whole bunch of big things in wrestling. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed. If not, you can tell us we're dumbasses and comment that in the sections.
Well, in that regard, since we're going, you know, we hope you guys enjoyed listen to us talk and shoot the shit on some controversial topics while being controversial ourselves, because we do know a thing or two about that. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well, on that note, stay going, my friends.
Deuces.